And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, and my good friend, Father Douglas Michael McKay. Hello, Father.
Hello, Ken, and all our listeners, and God bless everyone.
We want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, both your financial and prayerful support that's kept us on the air for over 40 years. If you care to sponsor this show, you can do so two ways. One is to call Maureen here at In His Sign, 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or visit the Our House Ministries website, and if you click on the donate page, there's an option there to make a donation to support this hour. I certainly appreciate your help. Father McKay and I are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anybody else that comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at that same website, ourhouseministries.org. We're also available to come out and speak at your parish or other group. Just get in touch with us through the Our House Ministries website, or again, give Maureen a call here at In His Sign, and she'll put you in touch with Father or I. A couple of quick announcements before we get going here. Our Matt Talbot Shrine in the Church of St. Gabriel's in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia is open on Tuesdays and Thursdays. It opens following the daily mass at 8:30 a.m. So the shrine would open around 9 and open till 4:30. Again, that's Tuesdays and Thursdays. On Tuesday, there's a holy hour from 3 o'clock to 4 o'clock that concludes with the Matt Talbot Novena prayers along with benediction. And on Thursdays at 4 o'clock, we pray a rosary together. So stop by, visit the shrine. Be sure to get in touch with us if you're going to come down. We can make arrangements to meet you over in the church and give you a tour. I haven't mentioned it in a while, but St. Gabriel's is often referred to as the Cathedral of South Philadelphia. It's worth the trip just to see the church, let alone the shrine. So come on down and pay us a visit. There's two retreats coming up. The Divine Will Retreat is going to take place at Malvern on February 9th to the 11th. The guest I've had in the last Wednesday of the month a few times now, Father B. Thomas Celso, will be the retreat director that weekend. You can register online at malvernretreat.com or call the retreat house at 610-644-0400. That's 610-644-0400. Kathleen McCarthy and Father Dermot Roach, frequent guests on Thursdays here, will be out at Malvern as well. That'll be February 23rd to the 25th. It's a men and women's retreat, again, presented by Kathleen and Father Dermot Roach. It's the theme of the retreat is Rekindle the Fire. You can register, again, online at malvernretreat.com or call the retreat house, again, 610-644-0400. We like to start the show with prayer, so we'll begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
And the following is the prayer for the canonization of Venerable Matt Talbot, patron of the show, along with a number of other saints. Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you.
Also, Ken, I'd just like to end with the memorari. I was thinking about, like, Anthony Campione. He would be celebrating his 73rd birthday today, and also along with friends of our ministry, and so I just pray the memorari, because I would be talking about the memorari later on with St. Francis de Sales.
Hey, Father, heard of Anthony Campione, and then for some reason it dropped out.
Michael Crossing,
okay.
Sledge, and yeah. John Liuzzi.
Right.
They were all friends of our ministry here.
All right.
Okay. Remember, O most compassionate Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your assistance, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired with O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother, to you we come, before you we kneel, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in your clemency hear and answer. Claire McGovern, may the divine assistance remain always with us, O Lord, and may the souls of the faithful be parted through the mercy of God. Rest in peace.
Amen.
Our Lady of Recovery and St. Joseph,
pray for us.
St. Monica and St. Mark G,
pray for us.
St. Francis de Sales and St. Agnes,
pray for us.
Our patron saints and guardian angels,
pray for us.
And all the saints and angels,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. All right, this is a one-hour call-in show. Anybody can call in and join in the conversation. The number's 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or reach us toll-free at 888-34-FAITH. That's 888-343-2484. We especially want your calls. When we take the break at the bottom of the hour, when we come back from the break, we'll have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment. And we can't have that without you. If God's touched you in a particular way recently and you want to share it with our listeners, that'll be the time to call in. We'll give out those numbers again before we take that break. We are currently in the third week in Ordinary Time and full slate of saints in the calendar this week. On Sunday the 21st, it was St. Agnes, Virgin and Martyr. On Monday the 22nd, St. Vincent, Deacon and Martyr. Today, the 24th, St. Francis de Sales, Bishop and Doctor. Tomorrow, the 25th, will be the conversion of Paul, the Apostle. And on Friday, the 26th, Saints Timothy and Titus, Bishops. And on Saturday, the 27th, Angela Merici, a Virgin. And we thought we would start, as we normally do, with the Saint of the Day. And today, that will be St. Francis de Sales. St. Francis de Sales was born on August the 21st in the year 1567, and he would die on December the 28th, 1622. A bunch of saints from that period, he was a pretty smart guy. Father sent him to school to be a lawyer so that he would eventually take over his father's place as senator from the province of Savoy in France. So Francis got sent to Padua to study law. He got his doctorate, returned home, and eventually told his parents that he wished to enter the priesthood. Like many saints, his father was opposed, and it took much patience and persuasiveness by Francis before his father would finally consent and let him go. Francis was ordained and elected provost of the Diocese of Geneva, which was the center of Calvinists at the time. And so Francis set out to convert them, became quite a writer. He would print pamphlets and write explanations of the true doctrine of the Catholic faith, and really had quite a bit of success. At the age of 35, he would become Bishop of Geneva, and while administering in that diocese, he would continue to preach, hear confessions, catechize children. And one of the key things to note about him was that he was really gentle in character, and that's what helped him win over souls. I'm not sure. The source I looked at said that he had his own axiom, so I don't know if he came up with it or stole it from somebody else, but it was that a spoonful of honey attracts more flies than a barrel full of vinegar, and he would use that approach in order to win people over. He had two really well-known books, The Introduction to the Devout Life and A Treatise on the Love of God. And as mentioned before, he wrote a lot of pamphlets and had a great deal of correspondence. As a result, he would be named the patron of the Catholic press. So He only had a short life, 55 years, I believe, but in that time he also collaborated with another saint, Jane Frances de Chantal, in establishing the Sisters of the Visitation. And those women were to practice the virtues exemplified in Mary's visit to Elizabeth, which were humility, piety, and mutual charity. And they continue that work until this day, whether it be in schools or those that have resorted to a strictly contemplative life. So St. Francis de Sales, whose feast day we celebrate every year on January 24th, today. Father?
Yeah, the gentleman saint, kindness and meekness, but he wasn't always that way. It was by God's grace that really kind of mellowed him, you know, into that gentle heart that he had. And gentle of heart. He was born, you know, his patron, St. Francis of Assisi, was born under a painting of Francis of Assisi, who was preaching to the birds and to the fish. But what kind of really impressed me in the beginning was this. In the beginning, he was 18 years old. He had all these scruples. He was afraid about his own salvation. Thought he might be going to hell, and liberated him was the Memorare. He prayed this most powerful prayer to the Blessed Mother, and right after that Memorare, it was all lifted. It was a big change in his heart. He had this confidence in God, this trust in God, this love for God. That prayer, the Memorare, it's such a powerful prayer. Ken, when I'm hearing confessions, and I do hear a lot of confessions, especially at Malvern, that's always one of my penances to the penitents. Pray, and Hail Mary, and usually you'll say no. The golden Hail Mary is that you pray one Hail Mary right from your heart, every word. It's just one Hail Mary, but it's prayed with your whole heart. And I said, well, this is a golden Memorare. You know, I know Mother Teresa, a lot of them will say pray nine Memorares, like a Novena Memorare, so a golden Memorare is just one from your heart, and the penitence. And I want you to pray that just for you and for your holiness. I would ask them, what's the last time you prayed for your holiness? To be holy like our Heavenly Father is holy, to be perfect like our Heavenly Father. You know, they haven't, and we don't, and that we need to pray for ourselves as well. I always remember I went to a confession one time, and talking to one of the priests, and he was exactly telling me that you're suffering for your own holiness. And he told me that on his day off on Monday, he would offer the Mass for himself, for his own holiness. And we need to pray for ourselves. It's a commandment. You know, love God with your whole heart, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. It's already, you know, saying that we love ourselves, because I was saying, love your neighbor as yourself. It's already implying that we're already loving ourselves. And so often it's not that we hate ourselves. It's just because I get hung up on all the sinfulness of my life, the junk that I've done in my past. And yet the Lord takes care of all that. You know, he comes to redeem us, to restore us, to be the scapegoat, to take the sins, the guilt, the shame away from us, and to give us this new abundant life, this joyful life. And then we touch this holiness, this image and likeness of God who created us just like himself. And we get that experience of holiness. And that's really a peace and a joy. So I always say, you know, pray that Memorare, because it is a powerful prayer. And it really did seem to save St. Francis de Sales from his scruples and his fear of going to hell. But another thing, like, is the love of God that he had after that. Even like saints would even say, even if I go to hell, I'm going to love you from there. You know, it's this love. And he would write these beautiful books, right, about God's love. And he would preach with love. And he would say this, he who preaches without love hasn't told the truth. And the measure of love is to love without measure. And God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God and God in him. You know, these wonderful writings of Francis de Sales, but he was always centered on God's love. And, you know, we grow in that love, Ken. it's like what I was saying, sharing this morning at our contemplative prayer group, that saints, you know, they're not made. You know, I mean, they're not born saints. They're made saints. You know, grace after grace, confession after confession, sacraments after sacrament. All these graces come, and they touch the hearts and transform us. And I was sharing that story with St. Ignatius of Loyola, where the saints, he probably would have changed this at the end of his life, but we always pray that prayer of his where he says, take my liberty, my understanding, my entire will, all that I have and that I possess, you've given it to me anyway, and give me only your love and your grace. That's enough for me. Your love and your grace are enough for me. And like I prayed that for so many years, and then I realized, you know, his love is enough. And so I like to end it like, your love and your love are enough for me. Because when we have that love of Christ, of God, we abide in him and he abides in us. And we have all the grace. We have everything we need. Because I'm in the life, eternal life. I'm with God and God's with me. I'm in communion with him. And love conquers everything, even the grave. So he was really powerful in proclaiming God's love. And but it was towards there at the end of his life that, you know, think about it. He was only, what, 56 years old, and he was coming towards the end of his life. And I just wanted to read the words. He started, he started murmuring and taking Bible passages. And he received the sacraments, and then he lay murmuring these Bible passages. And the last ones were, quote, with expectation, I have waited for the Lord. He was attentive to me, and he heard my prayers, and he brought me out of the pit of misery and the filthy mire. And then he clasped the hand of an attendant, and he whispered, it is towards evening. The day is far spent. And his last word, Ken, like so many saints, they would pray, his last word, the most powerful prayer of all, Jesus. And he went home. Jesus. That name is so powerful. You know, that name comes from God the Father through angel Gabriel to Mary and Joseph. His name is to be Jesus because he will save his people from their sins and the consequences of sin. Fear, anxiety, worriment, shame, guilt, all those other vices that he saves us from it all and destroys our last enemy, death itself, and then gives us eternal life. His name is Jesus because he will save us from everything that is bad and give us everything that is good, eternal life with him, that holy name, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I can't say enough about that name. Mm. I was just thinking, Ken, you know, all the turmoils and difficulties and trials and tribulations we have in life, this chaotic world, you know, we get knocked off a kilter. You know, I can wake up with morning prayer and be one with God in communion, experience all these wonderful touches of his, these spiritual delights, this grace of his. And then the day starts, and then all of a sudden the negativities come in, the difficulties, the blockages, the obstacles, right there and then, just to pray the name, Jesus, Jesus. You know, I wasn't going to share this, but I think I want to share it now, Ken. That nightmare I had the other night, I woke up, I was in Malvern, and I woke up that somebody was trying to stab me, and I woke up screaming. And all of a sudden, there was Jesus, right in the midst of it all, in the center of it all, right, saving me from being stabbed. And his words to me were, watch your step. Watch your step. And those words still linger in my mind and my heart. To watch my step is to watch where I'm walking, where I'm stepping, where I'm going. So when I'm going off kilter from grace to sin or from love to hatred, or from peace to fear, watch your step and call that holy name. Jesus, save me from this. You know, there's three enemies that are always attacking us, and I always feel attacked. And it's the world, the flesh, and the enemy. And yet they have no power over us because I say the name Jesus, and he watches over me. He protects me. But ever since then, it's like Advent all throughout the year. You know, watch the road. Be on guard, you know. Be awake. Stay alert. Watch your steps. Watch your step. And when any negativity, whatever happens, just pray that holy name, Jesus, who saves us from everything that is not of God and gives us everything that is of God. What a way to end the life with that holy name of Jesus. Save me, Jesus, from death itself. Bestow on me eternal life, Ken.
Amen. And, you know, I think about our friends in recovery and, you know, whenever you get jammed up and, you know, whether it's bad thoughts or contemplating doing something maybe that we shouldn't do, you know, resentments come back, you know, whatever it might be, that one simple word, Jesus, just changes your whole perspective on life. There's so much wrapped up in that. And the longer I think that you're in a relationship with Jesus, the longer that you're back in the church, back with the sacraments, that one word encapsulates so much more. And, you know, the thing that, you know, not just the alcoholic and addict, but I think everybody struggles with is distractions and temptations and what have you. And to repeat that one word, it just brings back your perspective. You know, alcoholism is often referred to as a disease of perception. We see things that differently than so-called normal people do. I don't know how many normal people are really out there, but I guess there's some. But, you know, we suffer with this disease of perception where we don't see things for what they really are. We have these ideas that, you know, if there's a group of people in a room and we're not part of their conversation, then they must be talking about us and that type of thing. And that one word just changes a perception of a current situation, whatever it is that's going on in our mind, and the strength and the help that comes from that. So, you know, we practice things, whether it's sports, prayers, you know, whatever it is, we practice them so that when, you know, trouble comes, we're prepared and we know how to handle the situation. And so to get into the habit of using the Lord's name, not in vain, but in a good way, even when things are good, so that when things do take a turn and we really need him, it'll be right there and easy to recall and just, you know, use that word Jesus. And I know many times in my life, because just saying that one word can lead to a deeper prayer. It can help, you know, it could be something that's instantaneous and takes your, you know, you can go right back to whatever it was you were doing before you got distracted or tempted or whatever it was that came. And so use it. Lord knows many of the saints did, right?
Yeah. You kept saying one word, one word, one word. You made me think of the prologue of John's Gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwells among us. There's a story, Ken, I heard years ago, I think it was from Father Groeschel, and he would bring these stories, you know, not that they could ever happen, but he said, can you imagine this, that Satan had God the Father muzzled, and God the Father asked for a tablet, you know, making a sign for a tablet, and he wrote, just let me say one word. And Satan was so intrigued about this. What possibly could one word do to me? And he unmuzzled the Father, and the Father said, Jesus. And that Satan was conquered. Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus. Something beautiful about that word. You know, think about this. When somebody knows your name, it's a power over you. I can be in the stadium, you know, World Series game or Super Bowl or whatever, and someone says, Father Doug, Father McKay, you've got my attention. Mm. And St. Francis of Assisi, he would kneel down and whisper his prayers, you know, and he would sometimes change prayers, but this one prayer always stuck with me. He would wet his lips and smack them, and someone said, go over and see what kind of prayers a saint whispers. And all they could hear was from Francis, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. When I was at the Holy Family home, Ken, there was a mother of a little sister, the poor Connie Monzo, and she was dying. And her daughter came in, the little sister said, "Mom, let's pray." And this is like right when she was about ready to die, maybe the day before or hours after. And she said, "Mom, let's pray the rosary." And Connie said, "No, I got a new prayer." "What is it, Mom?" "Jesus, Jesus." And Ken, I was at the death and I was watching Connie die in that hour and that last breath. And right prior to that, her lips were moving and you could read her lips. "Jesus, Jesus, save me from sin and death and everything else that's not of you, that I may know you and love you and follow you to where I come from, the Father, to my heavenly homeland with all my loved ones who are already there." But yeah, that holy name, powerful. Mm-hmm. That name is Jesus. Sometimes I'm tired at night too, Ken. You know, it doesn't take a whole lot of words. You know, I might just even go around my beads with my rosary and just one word, Jesus. And I can sometimes listen to my heart, those two, pump, pump, you know, at night. I could actually hear it. And I would say, "Jesus," with the heartbeat, "Jesus, Jesus," you know. Mm. But it's a communion. And, you know, you think to know, and that's his name. This is our God. Like the Jewish people, they knew to know somebody's name gave you a power over them. So they would never use the name Yahweh because that gave them a power over God. They would only whisper that the high priest and go into the Holy of Holies one day a year, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, taking the blood of the goats, the scapegoat, all the sins on the dumb animal, and would go into the Holy of Holies and sprinkle the blood around, just whisper Yahweh. And all the sins would be forgiven because of the power of the name. And Jesus comes along and says, "Call God your Father. Father, we know his name. Call him Father. And we know the name of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. We know God's name." In a sense, he gives us a power over himself. He gives us these gifts, these graces, these virtues, you know, just to come and call that name and go to him. He's sitting on the edge of his throne, wanting to bless us with all the graces and all the virtues, but we can't have both. I can't have vice and virtue. I must repent, let it all go, turn to God for that new abundant life. Turn to God with that holy name, Jesus.
All right, we got about a minute before we take the break. At the bottom of the hour, I want to give out the phone numbers, 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. If you're listening from a distance and you want to call toll-free, you can call 888-343-2484. And when we come back from the break, we're going to have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment. And if God's touched you in a particular way recently and you want to share it with our listeners, we would love to have you call. So if you're going to call, now's the time. You got just a minute, Father. Any final word?
Yeah, final word. Ken, it was just that something that Francis, you know, I often use his poem about the cross, you know, in homilies when we're talking about the cross. We all have crosses to bear. Sometimes they're very heavy. But the Lord would never permit a cross without the grace. And every cross brings us closer to him. And there's always a greater grace behind the cross. But he wrote this, "Your cross. The eternal God has in his wisdom foreseen from eternity the cross he now presents to you as a gift from his inmost heart. This cross he now sends you, he has considered with his all-knowing eyes, understood with his divine mind, tested with his wise justice, warmed with his loving arms, and weighed with his own hands to see that it be not 1 inch too large and not 1 ounce too heavy for you. He has blessed it with his holy name, anointed it with his grace, perfumed it with his consolation, and taken one last glance at you and your courage, and then he sent it to you from heaven, a special greeting from God to you. Your cross, the bridge to heaven, Ken."
All right, Father, we have reached the bottom of the hour. We're going to go ahead and take that break. Phone number 610-527-2906. Give us a call. We'll be right back.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio on WTMR 800, Camden, Philadelphia. Listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners. Your host Ken Johnston and Father Douglas McKay. I did raise up the desk here. You can, those watching on Facebook, you could see the copy of the book we're going to be talking about in the 5 o'clock hour when I'm joined by Father Jeremiah Stryock. I'm really looking forward to that show this afternoon. Before we go back to this show, couple of updates on the Catholic Society, a great organization for Catholics and 12-step programs, where our motto is, "We substitute the cup that sanctifies for the cup that stupefies." Father McKay and I and a whole gang of people get together every Tuesday in Grace Ferry in the Matt Talbot Chapel at the corner of 29th and Dickinson Street, across the street from St. Gabriel's Church. We get started at 6 o'clock p.m., with a short adoration period followed by Mass and then our Calyx meeting at 7 o'clock. On the third Tuesday of each month, we actually go over to St. Gabriel's Church where we have a holy hour from 6 to 7 and then Mass at 7 o'clock. During the holy hour, we have exposition of the Blessed Sacrament, Matt Talbot prayers, Father McKay and Father Shea is usually on hand to hear confessions. And all are more than welcome, especially on that third Tuesday, and where we pray for those that are in recovery, those that should be in recovery, the active alcoholics and addicts, and all their family members. So everybody's more than welcome to come in and pray with us. The unit at Queen of the Universe in Levittown meets on the first and third Thursday of the month at 7 o'clock p.m. in the Parish Center. Their next meeting will be on Thursday, February the 1st. The Glenside unit at my home parish of St. Luke the Evangelist meets on the third Saturday of each month. We just met this past Saturday. We go to the 8:30 daily Mass with the parish and then have a Calyx meeting. Our next meeting will be on Saturday, February the 17th. The unit at St. Francis of Assisi in Springfield meets on the last Saturday of the month, beginning with the 4 o'clock Vigil Mass, followed by a Calyx meeting, and they will meet on Saturday, January the 27th. That's this coming Saturday. And Father McKay announced last night that we are going to have a new Calyx unit starting at the Malvern Retreat House. The current plans are to meet on the third Sunday of the month with 4 o'clock Mass, followed by refreshments and then a meeting. So the third Sunday in February will be February the 18th. That'll be the inaugural Calyx gathering out at the Malvern Retreat House. And in nearby Wilmington, Delaware, there's a Calyx unit that meets at St. Matthew's every Wednesday. It's 6:15 p.m. Mass, followed by a Calyx meeting. As I just mentioned, I'm going to be joined in the 5 o'clock hour by Father Jeremiah Miriam Shryock. and we'll be discussing his book, Mary and the Interior Life. Father Jeremiah is actually a hermit in upstate New York, so we'll be talking about the life of a hermit in addition to the Blessed Mother, so you'll want to stay tuned for that. And it looks like, I don't know, I think God must be dead here in the southeastern Pennsylvania and South Jersey area. We didn't get a single phone call, Father. So
I guess they were not loved anymore, Cal. I don't know what's going on out there. They're listening. I know that because I always hear that. Carol said she was going to call. Maybe she'll call in. I don't know. But, yeah. Take that holy boldness, right, Ken? Call in, amen. Break the ice, and you'll be glad you did.
Yeah, and it's just like talking to Father in your living room, except that you know, a bunch of other people are eavesdropping and listening in.
Yeah, just call and say hello. That'll break the ice.
Yeah.
We'll know someone's listening out there.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But, yeah, we had a good morning this morning on Wednesdays at our Matt Talbot Chapel. We have a contemplative prayer group, and we pray for about an hour together using the gospel from Mass that day. And then Father offers Mass for us at 10:30. And we started something new last week where, you know, we always had the coffee maker there. We make coffee for our Calyx meeting on Tuesday nights, and it was like, why not have a pot of coffee after Mass? Our good friend and guy that calls in once in a while, Tom Dillon, brought a dozen donuts, and it really was a nice morning. And you know, Pat Ireland, Father, ended up sticking around until about 12:15, and just a great conversation. And part of what we talked about is we'll be talking about in the 5 o'clock hour as a result of having taken a look at this book. Father Jeremiah talks about how we should always be looking at things through the eyes of Mary. And so in light of Patrick's conversation last night about what he does over at Holy Family Home with the elderly, he'll now be looking at them through the eyes of Mary. And we did generate a couple of calls. We're going to go first to Dennis. Hello, Dennis. How you doing, pal?
Good. This is Ken. How are you?
All right. We missed you last night.
Hey, Father McKinney. How are you?
Hey, Dan.
Good. Hey, it's not an honor, God, but I was just thinking about something and talking about Jesus and saying his name and, you know, repelling the devil. He's not going to come near you when we say Jesus. I was taught that a long time ago. I guess I was also taught, and I don't know where the origin is, but my grandmother always taught me to, you know, gently nod my head every time you hear or say the word Jesus. And I do that all the time. Not sure where that tradition came from, but I don't know if it's in the realm of when you strike your breast during the penitential act and when we bow our heads during the profession of faith, by the Holy Spirit was incarnate, the Virgin Mary became man. So, and there's also a couple of times during Mass where I noticed that the priest strikes his breast, and then some people bless themselves, and I don't know the exact part. I wasn't taught the blessing during that part of Mass, but I guess just a couple traditions to recognize. I thought maybe you could share something about that.
Yeah. Hey, Dan, you know, that comes from the scriptures. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bend, you know, and every tongue proclaim the holy name. But, yeah, we have the Immaculate Heart Mary sisters, and we always had to bow our heads at the name of Jesus. And I remember the older priests would say when they wore the berettas, the hats that the priests wore, the berettas, well, they would wear them at Mass. And whenever the holy name was invoked, they would pick up the beretta, the hat, and twist it and put it back on. And this one priest in his homily used the holy name about 50 times. And all you would see would be the hats flying back and forth, back and forth. But, it's the reverence of the name. I forget exactly in Paul's letter, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend. And that's really the source of it, to bow our heads instead of bending our knees.
Yeah, I remember, Father, back when we were in formation for Franciscans and Vince Yetzi, you know, was telling us how important that was. I think it took up a whole evening in him talking about it. And I think we even signed a paper saying that we would do it, you know, going forward. And I remembered it from when we were a kid, but it kind of gotten away from the practice. And, you know, you can't see it. I know you're not on Facebook, but the few people that are, you've probably said Jesus 60 times in the first segment, and I'm bowing my head, and it's like, I feel like a bobblehead. But it is interesting, Dennis, right? Because once you start doing it, it kind of becomes a habit. And even when you're on the street and somebody takes Jesus' name in vain or something, and you find yourself out bowing.
So true.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I did get up to the Levittown meeting last week. So it was a small group, but, you know, Tom and I, we had a good meeting. So I'll be going back on the 1st as well. So
very good. Good to know. And for those that are listening, Dennis is referring to the Calyx group that meets up at Queen of the Universe on the 1st and 3rd Thursday of the month. So, it's alive and well. Stop up and see my friend Tom Gallagher and Dennis as well. Very good. Glad to hear it, Den.
Thanks, guys. I'll see you soon.
All right. Look forward to it. Be good.
God bless, Den. Thanks for the call in.
Thank you, Father. Yep, you're welcome.
And we got Bob on the line, and I'm betting it's Fruitland Bob. Hello, Bob.
Hello, hello. I just called to say
hello. Oh, it's the other Bob. 2 days in a row. To what do we owe this this blessing?
You got a story to tell. Nobody loved you guys, and I figured somebody has to, so I figured I would call in.
Very good. What's going on?
Not a whole lot. I just want to thank you guys for the prayers. I want to thank the St. Francis Society for the prayers for my my two procedures I had done at once. I got a 2-for-1. Mm. And I missed being in Grace Ferry. I was sharing that with Patrick earlier today. And it just felt like I was back home last night at Calyx.
Hey, man, it was good to see you, man. Been too long.
Yes, yeah.
How's that new grandson?
Oh, my gosh. What a blessing. What a blessing. I do want to talk to Father about how do I go about baptizing, because it doesn't seem like that's in the cards. And, you know, like, I want to not do it, like, in secret. I want to do it, you know, that my daughter knows.
Mm.
But it's, you know, tearing my wife and I up that not baptized.
Yeah. Yeah, it happens more and more these days. And, you know, this idea that, you know, we'll leave it up to the kids until they get older. And, you know, the flip side of that is, you know, Patrick here, he shares it all the time, how grateful he was that his parents had him baptized and brought him up Catholic. Because, you know, he had it to fall back on. And I've been saying it probably too much lately, but, you know, that for those of us that are in recovery, when we walk through the doors of a 12-step room or come to Calyx or whatever it is, we already have a basis in God to kind of fall back on, even if it is the, you know, the education of a second or third or eighth grader. At least we have some clue. And
right.
These kids that are coming up with nothing, you know, when they hit the jackpot and realize that they need help, and they go to a group and they say, well, the only way you're going to get out of this is through a relationship with God. And then their next question is going to be, well, what's a God? You know, how blessed we were to have at least a minimum, if you will, of knowledge of God. To tap into. And I don't know what it's going to be like for the you know, this generation that's coming up now.
I know. Yeah. But, I mean, at least we had the foundation, you know?
Yeah. But you're a good man, and your wife is certainly a good mom. And I know we find subtle ways to make it happen. And you never know when God's going to inject himself into that relationship and make something happen. I mean, I had kids that were away from the church, and now I got my oldest has her 2 kids in Catholic school. My second son, somehow or other, God managed to maneuver him so that he's teaching in a Catholic school now, teaching 7th and 8th grade. And
wow.
It's the furthest thing that we thought would ever possibly happen. So,
right.
You know, we don't give up hope. God's in charge. We know that. So we just just keep praying for them. But I'll leave it to a private conversation with you and Father to figure out what to do going forward.
I appreciate that.
Yeah,
I appreciate
man. Father?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, sometimes we do drift away, but we always come back because the seeds are planted. We don't forget that. But the Lord's always there. And I know a lot of parents would come, you know, and sometimes their child would die, before they were baptized, and they were always afraid, did my child go to heaven? You know, years ago, it was like if you weren't baptized, you couldn't go to heaven. They came up with the theory of limbo. Now, limbo, I remember Sister telling us, about babies that weren't baptized, they would go to limbo. And you've got everything you want in limbo, except you can never see God. Mm-hmm. And yet, later on, it was like limbo seemed to kind of phase out, That was only a theological hunch. And then these new theologies, how we grow in it, that you take scripture where Paul says everyone will see salvation. It's not Russian roulette with God. So God will kind of enlighten that little infant's mind, and the child will choose yes or no. But everyone will have that salvation. But baptism, it's so beautiful because we're immersed in God's presence. We're full with grace. All the original sin is taken away, and that's the way to begin life, right there with baptism. But I wouldn't be like really so fearful and upset over it, but I would keep praying, for my children to have their my grandchildren baptized, and sooner or later that would happen. So keep praying, Bob, and it will happen. But I like to say, too, this, faith sharing, how we come together in Calyx, and we share exactly this. And this morning after Mass, where we had that coffee, Ken and Pat Ireland was talking, I was minister, too. I felt, God's presence. And even last night, at our Calyx meeting, I felt God's presence sitting on my left. Would you believe that, Bob? It was like sitting right on my left. And it was you. And then we talked a little bit afterwards. And I could have spent the whole night. Everybody was leaving. But you and I had a wonderful conversation. But the Lord was right in the midst of that. He always is. I'm with you always until the end of the world. So be not afraid. I go before you always.
Very good.
Yeah.
All right, Bob. Gentlemen. Appreciate the call, brother.
Yep, love
Thanks,
you guys.
Bob.
You too.
Love you too.
See you soon.
Love that, Bob.
All right, and we got another call, and it's Tom the Donut Guy. Hello, Tom.
Hey, Ken, can you hear me?
We can hear you. Thanks for the donuts this morning.
Yeah.
No problem. I'm just picking up. It's great to hear Bob, I've been getting over his medical issues. We're all looking forward to seeing him soon. But, this whole subject of baptism, I know where he's coming from. I mean, I got my two kids baptized. It took several years, but it worked out fine, and in God's time. But I want to point out, and I'm going to send this to Bob. I just saw a podcast about the Marian priest up in Stockbridge. You guys know his name. He's called the Surfing Priest.
Father Don Calloway.
Father, what's his name?
Don Calloway.
Right, yeah. Galloway. Any case, he had a quick podcast about this whole subject of baptism, and how the common objection that the parents have is, no, I want my kids to make their own decision. I want them to wait and make their own decision when they get older, and they can decide whether they want to get baptized or not. And he really had a real strong argument about, we got to get, you feed your children, you take care of your children, you feed them. That's what this is all about, the spirituality of getting fed. Come on, people, wake up. But anyway, I'm going to go and send that. I sent it to my son just last week. And it's only about a 5-minute podcast.
Yeah.
But Galloway put it out.
Yep.
That's all. Good to call and say hello.
All right, pal.
Thanks, Tom. You know what else I was thinking of, Tom? Like for that argument where you say, I'll let them grow older and then they can choose. But yet, we teach them good behavior. We teach them English. I don't wait until they get older that they're going to learn English or Spanish or some other language. I'm going to teach what's important. And what's more important than salvation and being united with our God, you know, in baptism? There's nothing more important than salvation, and that's the only thing we should take seriously in life. Salvation, communion with God, union with God, love with God. And that's all that's necessary, and everything works out for good for those who love God. Thanks for calling in, Tom.
I think you may have hung up. If you can hear us, Tom, say hello to all our friends down there in Wilmington tonight. Appreciate it, pal. Be good. All right. We cleared the phone lines. Anything you want to share, Father, before we go to St. Agnes?
Ken, I'm going to let that go. I think I brought everything in I wanted to say. Just one thing, in case I don't get that in there. Thanks for mentioning about Malvern, about the Calix unit that's going to start up on the third Sunday of February. And I just want to say, there's a lot happening at Malvern. It's heaven's gravity. It's a spiritual oasis. It's like the Lord is drawing so many souls there. He's drawing the young people there, with Blessed Carlos Acutis. Also, those in recovery with Maximilian Colby, who's the patron of drug addicts, and Venerable Matt Talbot, and how we're putting up that, the shrine for Matt Talbot, that's happening. And a new saint that's coming into Malvern is St. John Paul II. We're getting the cross from the seminary, that big white cross in 1979 that was on the platform in front of the Cathedral of St. Peter and Paul, the Basilica now. And that's coming to Malvern. That's like an icon, and that was always important to me, Ken, if you remember. There's a picture in your office, the Inquirer, and you see the cross with the Holy Father, like, giving a blessing. But what you don't see is me, because I was the cross bearer standing next to him, putting the cross into the container, and he's saying to me, "Good job, Dougie. Good job, Dougie." But yeah. So much is happening at Malvern, and I just wanted to get a little bit of that about Malvern in there, being the rector. I'd be negligent if I didn't, Ken.
No.
But it's heaven's gravity. Something is happening in Malvern. St. Joseph's in the Hills, our Blessed Mother. You know, we have the village of St. Maximilian Kolbe every second Thursday, beginning at 7 o'clock, and probably 2 hours, close to 2 hours anyway. And then, of course, we have the Blessed Carlo Acutis. You know, all these wonderful things that are happening. And the first Friday, 7:30 on first Friday in the morning, we have the Mass, and then we have a nice breakfast and faith sharing. So everyone's invited. So come one and come all.
Yeah.
Just wanted to get that in.
Yeah, now, and I'm working on an article. I've been publishing posts every week now, a couple of week on Substack. If you go to notsaintsyet.substack.com, I'll put a link out on our Facebook page here at InHisSign, and working on an article now on Malvern and making retreats in general. And everybody should make at least one a year. And like Father, you've been saying, you go to the dentist twice a year. You should be going to making a retreat twice a year.
Yeah. The dentist wants you to come every 6 months to prevent tooth decay, and Dr. Jesus wants you to come to retreat every 6 months to prevent tooth decay.
There you go.
And you went to the dentist today, didn't you?
I did. Yeah. And thank goodness the Novocaine wore off soon after I had my coffee and donut this morning. And I was thinking when I was driving down to Grace Ferry this morning that it's probably not a good idea to go to the dentist on the days that we have our radio show, so no more Wednesday dental appointments, just in case.
You did well, Ken. Hey,
nah, it's all good. All good. Okay. All right, we got about 5 minutes left, and we'll just touch on St. Agnes. And she died in the year 258, only 12 or 13 years old. Not a whole lot known about her, but I just happened upon a video on YouTube of a priest who gave his homily on Sunday on St. Agnes, and he referred to St. Ambrose, and a treatise that he did on virgins. And St. Ambrose had a lot of details on St. Agnes, and, you know, a beautiful young girl. People wanted to have their way with her, and she had already consecrated herself to Jesus and would be a perpetual virgin. And when she refused to give that up, she was actually sent to a brothel, and apparently her hair grew rather quickly, right down to her ankles, that would prevent people from being able to see her. And you know, she would, her virginity would be preserved, and really went gallantly to her death. And just real quick, from St. Ambrose writing in the Office of Readings, he writes, "There was little or no room in that small body for a wound. Though she could scarcely receive the blow, she could rise superior to it. Girls of her age cannot bear even their parents' frowns, and, pricked by a needle, weep as for a serious wound. Yet she shows no fear of the blood-stained hands of the executioners. She stands undaunted by heavy, clanking chains. She offers her whole body to be put to the sword by fierce soldiers. She is too young to know of death, yet is ready to face it. Dragged against her will to the altar, she stretches out her hands to the Lord in the midst of the flames, making the triumphant sign of Christ the victor on the altars of sacrilege. She puts her neck and hands in iron chains, but no chain can hold fast her tiny limbs." And she gives up her life as a martyr, St. Agnes, whose feast day we celebrate on January the 21st. Got just 2 minutes, Father. Sorry.
Yeah, that's good. That's good, Ken. You know, when she was commanded to do incense, she raised her hand and made the sign of the cross. She said, "We Christians wear out our forehead with the sign of the cross, the sign of our salvation." But yeah, Augustine speaks about her, and also, as you mentioned, Ambrose. But Ambrose said something beautiful. She said, when she was condemned to be martyred, Agnes was filled with joy. Mm-hmm. And she went to her execution like a bride going to her wedding.
Amen.
Fearlessness, Ken. It's like heroic virtue. And what an example for the young people of purity, that her body for purity, even though she was married to Jesus. You know, Agnes means lamb. You know, it was a pure lamb of God. She was married to Jesus, and nobody was going to take that from her, even being condemned into a brothel, that they looked at her, they could see her purity, except for one person. He tried to make an front of her, and he was struck blind, and she had to pray for him to get his sight back. But anyway, Agnes, you know, means lamb. That was my mother's name, too, or still is.
Yeah.
Agnes,
yeah.
The Lamb of Christ, Ken.
Very good.
Okay.
Get your blessing, pal.
Yeah. In name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
And God, our Father, we praise you and we thank you for all the wonderful gifts, for the gift of life, the promise of eternal life, but especially for all your saints who really show us the way home with your Son, who really show us that we're all called to be your saints, to be holy and to be perfect. And I just ask this blessing upon us all, that we may take a deeper look inside ourselves and see that image and likeness of yours and live there with Jesus, who's always with us, and the gift of your Spirit. So bless us all the elderly, all the sick, all those suffer with addictions, and bless us all good, real good, and free us from all evil and bring us into your goodness. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
God bless everyone. Ken, thank you.
All right. Thank you, Father. For our listeners, our 5 o'clock guest, Father Jeremiah Stryak, is already on the line. We'll be talking about his book, Mary and the Interior Life. It's going to be great. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hello, Father. How are you, brother? All right.